That's some good singing class. Well done. And how many did it? Did what? Well, that's a great question too. Who made it through the holiday? Just by the skin of my teeth. I firmly believe that's why I don't brush my teeth. Because if I didn't have skin on my teeth, I'll tell you what, they're squeaky clean. So, like my wife said, how many did it yesterday? You sang happy birthday to Jesus? Oh, shucks. Did anybody sing happy birthday to Jesus besides my wife and I? It's our custom. There was a season when we were rearing our child. We baked a cake, a birthday cake. How many didn't give a birthday cake to their children growing up? We're not baking a cake for our child. What? Why do we do that? Oh, wait, we celebrate life, right? So how many got a present yesterday? I got 4. I got a book. I got pants. I got that this morning, but I got pants. I got a shirt so I can be a billboard, proclaim the gospel without using words. It's really cool. And there's something else I can't remember. Oh, no, I got coffee. From a tea house. What? I mean, how good is that coffee going to be? I'll tell you, it's going to be off the charts because this tea house that serves coffee to me and makes great tea is about making a difference in the world. So we supported a ministry through buying a gift for yours truly. And here's the great thing about it. Every time I have a cup of coffee from that bag, as I grind those beans, I get to pray for the trafficked people in this world. How cool is that? What are the gifts for? What gift did you give Jesus yesterday? What gift did you shop for? What does Jesus want from us? Heart. Obedience. Allegiance. Willingness, surrender. How are we doing with that? You know, I started this year, 2020, asking the question, what are you going to do this year different than last year? Here we are, 7 days. 7 days from the end of 2020. All right, so the numbers all just jumbled together in my head. Whatever year it is. Did you do anything different this year than you did last year? We worshiped outside in a tent. That's different. That was great. Thank you for the resource. We didn't sing Silent Night, Christmas Eve. That was different. Kudos, church. Well done. What have we done different? I want to think about that. You know, we celebrate Christmas every year. Why? For the presents, for the wine, for the parties, for the baby Jesus. Can you say that just a lot louder for the recording?
For the baby Jesus.
For the baby Jesus. It's going to be a long sermon, I'm sorry. The opening is like 5 minutes too long. I'll have to talk fast. So if you have your Bible, turn to John. No, don't turn to that one. Turn to a little book. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. And before I do, I want to pray. So as you're searching the scriptures, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this service that you have orchestrated. You have put all the ducks in a row before the creation of time. And I will just marvel that until you call me home. But I thank you that the pump has been primed and that we're ready and attentive for the day, that glorious day when you come again. God, I pray that today we would see you. That we would have those blinders removed from our eyes, the scales. The darkness would be turned to light. That your spirit would prompt our spirit to acknowledge you.
Father, I pray that you use this time to mold, reshape, recreate, break us into the people you created us to be. And for that, I will give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. All right, so if you're there, 1 John 3, I'm going to begin at verse 1. Sorry if the translations are a little different. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Did you hear that instruction? God's word instructs us. See what manner of love God has lavished on us. Did you see it? Driving down the roads, Santa Claus, heads popping out of the ground, 7 feet tall. Santa Claus waving from behind the hedges. I've seen it all. But I also saw these nativity scenes. Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and camels and wise men, and we had all the pictures there. But did you see it? Did you see God's love displayed in those things? Or did you miss it? Verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we would be called children of God. And that is what we are! Exclamation point in my Bible. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. That's the instruction. Have you done that this year? Different than last year? Because it's an ongoing process and it never stops. At least not for me. I ain't baked yet. Look at verse 4. This is the truth of God's word. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sin. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. That's a hard truth. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He, that's Jesus, is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Listen, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And that has been accomplished. That's what I believe. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Then you have the seed of God in you. There's the seed of man, that's humanity, and the seed of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love his brother or sister. Christmas is a time when people tend to show more love to their family. How'd you do with that yesterday? I was spared. I stayed with my wife. We were all by our onesies, first time in 31 years. And I have to confess, I wasn't the best man on the planet. My attitude was not loving. My heart was not soft, and I think that spilled over to the one who was with me. Or if you were with many, that happens to those who are with you. You know, we tend at Christmas to be a little nicer to our neighbors. We say, Merry Christmas. We went for a walk several times this week. And a little kid, maybe 10 years old, said, Merry Christmas from his porch. No, some old guy said the same thing in some language. I mean, he had a strong accent. A Merry Christmas. I'm like, hey, yeah, Merry Christmas to you too. We're even nice to complete strangers. That's why we hold the door for people at Wawa when we get our coffee. Or will we even pay for their coffee if we're standing in front of them? Hey, get his too, right? I mean, we just tend to be nicer at Christmas. Or at least that's how we're supposed to be, a little nicer. Maybe not always. There's still the horn honking in the parking lots. And when I see five car spaces at the red light that could have gone through before the people hang up and drive, I'm okay. I feel much better. It's going to be a long sermon. Sorry. We need to focus on the Christ child and recognize God's love for us. Did you see it or did you miss it? Because his love is revealed through the child, that little baby in the crèche. Truth be told, Christmas can be a time of anything but soft, warm, fuzzy feelings. I confess, I didn't make it yesterday. I was miserable. And my mom was miserable. And maybe it started with her. Or maybe it was just like a whole bunch of stuff in life, just building up and then just dumped on Christmas Day. The one day we should be joyful and triumphant, a lot of us, even in this room, are sad. Or disappointed. There are people in this room that are celebrating first, the first time a loved one wasn't at the Christmas dinner. There's an empty chair. It's been filled all year, and now it's different. Some of us are sad. I can't be with my mom. She's 7 states away, and I can't be with her, and she can't be with me, and that makes me sad. Sometimes, you know, even for kids, I mean, I remember when I was young, I got a gift, my favorite gift, the one on the list, but it needed batteries and there were no batteries. That could be traumatic. I mean, I remember that through my life. Christmas is supposed to be a time filled with joy. You remember, it's supposed to be a time of love and laughter. Consider Mary and Joseph. Now we focused on them last week, but can you imagine their joy when they held the infant child for the first time in their arms? I have grandbabies. I long to just smell them and snuggle them. And that's joy. Consider the 9-month journey they just came off of. To have that joy. Think about the shepherds who heard the angel announcement. What was their face like when they were obedient and they left their fields and they found out what the angel has said to be true? You think their response was, No, they were excited and they told everybody. Who'd you tell about Jesus this year? Your son, your daughter, your grandchildren, your neighbor, the male person. What are you going to do this year different than last year? And I'm going to ask that question again next week. What are you going to do in 2022? Is it really 21? Wow. Than you did in 2021. John writes in 1 John 3:1-2, these words. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Just take the rest of the year, it's only 7 days, to think about that. He tells us to look at how great a love the Father has given. It's a gift. And it's eternal. It's free. And we're instructed here to see it. Are we even paying attention? Or are we like the world? We're going to miss it. He came. He went. He's coming again. What joy that will be. What joy that'll be. We will know him as he is. Until then, we'll see him dimly. I'm going to walk by faith. You know, the plan for providing salvation to believers was not a last-minute thought for our Father who art in heaven. He had a plan of love that includes you and me. How do we see God's love? I see it in you. I see it in, well, you. I even see it in you. I do. And you, and you. We reflect Christ well, don't we, church? We see his love at the manger in Bethlehem. You got to understand that the world that Jesus came into was not nice. It was cruel. It was full of hatred. Full of wickedness, just like today. God's Son came into the world to save sinners. Like me and you. Jesus entered this world for the express purpose of living a sinless life. Something none of us can do. Even with his strength, we fall short. He lived a sinless life. And then he took my sin and your sin to the cross in his body. Because of love. He loves us that much. The Son of God came to destroy the work of the devil. And it's finished. Why are we not walking in the newness of life? Because we're still learning. At least I am. I don't have it mastered yet. If you're going to see this amazing love of God, you must go to the cross of Calvary. That's why we spent the whole year, more than half my sermons, brought us back to the cross. Because we never can forget to give life so another person can live is the greatest expression of love. And that's what Jesus did. During the night of Jesus' betrayal, he told his disciples what his intention was. He was going to trade his life for the sins of the world. And that's what he did. He told them in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And that is what he did. He set the example of self-sacrifice by going to the cross. Do you take up your cross daily? Are you loving like Jesus loved? Yeah. So what I'm going to work on this year too. Have you ever given any thought to what Jesus endured on the cross for you? Even ponder that. Maybe on Easter, in the church, when someone draws that thought to your mind, but as you go about your day, he died in your place. He took what I deserve, and I take that for granted. I live life on my own, for my own. He not only proved his love for us in his death on the cross, he gave us a way to be forgiven from our sins. He gave us the security of a home in heaven forever. And I take that for granted. This love is the hope and the joy and the peace we focus on, not for an hour, not for a day, a week, or a month, but every day of the year, don't we? Maybe we'll do that this year. Like I thought I was going to do, well, this year. Does that make any sense? You know, we spent the last 3 months renewing our focus. Every year, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, don't we? Christmas is a special time of year because it reminds us of how much God loves us. But there's another birth that is very important. This is where we all need to stand up, turn around once, breathe in, sit down. It's a new birth, which takes place when we acknowledge Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. It is at that moment that Jesus is born in us. It's at that point, according to God's word, we're called children of God. Until you see the love that God has lavished on us, will you be his child? When a person is saved, Jesus is born in that person. Literally, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the person who has acknowledged him as Savior and Lord. Have you done that? Every child of God has a testimony to share. I was then, now I am. And becoming. I learned the other day, sanctification, right? It's an ongoing process. And I don't know it all, and I make mistakes, and I apologize. But that's exactly what John did when he penned the words in 1 John 3, 1 and 2. He's sharing his testimony about the truth of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. When we have truly experienced God's saving grace, we can't keep it to ourselves. We have to testify. It can't be contained. We must share it. We live it out in 2022. John tells us of how the world does not know us, meaning it doesn't understand our salvation. I don't get it. They just don't get it because they don't know Jesus. As a child of God, you have overcome the world. And according to God's word, who is it that overcomes the world? He that believes Jesus is the Son of God. It's the only way, overcomer. John wrote a confident phrase in 1 John 3:1. He penned the words, "And we are." He didn't say, "And we hope to be," or "we hope to become children of God." We are children of God. I got this Shekinah glory God bumps things going on here. I don't know if anybody else is excited. I got 3 or 4 minutes to go, another 9 pages, but we'll make it. We will. This is the fact that bothers people. They get irritated because of our assurance of salvation. Why are you the way you are? They just don't get it. And we as followers of Christ are saved to know. We can be assured. Are you assured of your salvation? Do you know that you know that you know that when he comes again, you sealed your pardon? I'm sure he can come today. My mom is sure. She says, I don't want to celebrate another year. I don't blame her. Life is rough, but that's the easy way out. I'm going to live this day to the fullest. John reminds us that Jesus will be revealed. That means he's coming again. Yes, church? We just sang about that. Thanks for picking all three hymns. They are so fitting for what we never communicated. I love the way God works. You know, you have to understand that the first time Jesus came to earth, he was laid in a manger in rags. But the next time he comes to this earth, he's going to be robed in splendor and majesty and might and power. And man, there's a kind of glory is flowing right now. I'm excited. Oh, what a day that will be. The next time he comes, the first time he came, he wore a crown of thorns. The next time he comes, he's wearing a crown of victory. He has overcome the world, and we have access to that. The first time he came, he was judged by sinful men. And the next time he comes, he's going to judge the sins of the world. John tells us that the world did not know him. They missed it. What you have to understand is that you are either a child of God or you're caught up in the things of the world. That's the sad truth. This world will have your attention and you will forget to say, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear. Happy birthday. Why do we sing of our son's birth? Or our daughter's birth, and not our Savior's birth. We're blinded by the light. We're distracted by the darkness. Renew your thinking. You know, the only way to miss the love that God has for you is to love the things of the world more than your Savior. And it is very easy to do. He came on that first Christmas to save sinners. That's how much he loves us. This bids the question, have you put your trust in him by turning from your sins and receiving the gift of Christmas? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Because when we do that, honestly, we live differently. I think this is the new question for the year. What are you doing different this year than you did last year? You know, the world has nothing to offer compared to the great love God has in store for eternity. Eternity. For those of us who have experienced this new birth, it's a time to renew our love for him. To give back to him a small portion of the love he's given to us. Let's return our love with a fresh commitment to him. At all costs, Lord, I will serve you. If it costs my life, I will live for you. Not just for an hour, a day, a week, or a month, but every moment of every day, in the good times and in the bad times, I will serve you, Lord. For those of you who don't know him, this is the greatest gift you can ever receive. It's free. Accept the gift. Turn from your old way of life. Receive the new, eternal, abundant life that he's willing to give us, to lavish on us. These all powerful, familiar words from John's gospel has changed people's lives for eternity. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we would be called children of God, and that is what we are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. For God, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already. That's the truth of God's word. You don't have a snowball's chance in that place without Jesus. This, my friend, is why Jesus was born. When he was hanging on the cross, bleeding, gasping for breath, you were on his mind. He died for you and for me. Jesus was born to die for us. I'm going to close with John 4, 9 through 12. This is what it says. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete. I see Jesus in you. 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 Yeah, I see Jesus in you. And I hope you see a little Jesus in me. But when we go into this dark world, who are we going to reflect? Father, I thank you for your word, that it has power. It has power to encourage, and it has power to reshape us. And this is a hard sermon for me, Lord, but your word has gone out, and we prayed earlier, and I'm praying again, that it falls on fertile soil, that it will bud, bloom and flourish, that you will have opportunity to use us, marred pots, damaged vessels, broken people, to do a great thing for your kingdom. God, I pray that you would use us through the balance of 2021 and use us mightily in 2022. For these things, we give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.